All right, Krishna, everyone, this is Achyut Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we're going to take another look at a passage from the Nectar of Instruction. And in this verse, we are going to talk a little bit more. In a recent episode, we talked about the importance of honoring and acknowledging saintly people in our lives and the need to associate with other spiritual people. We're going to continue that today by talking about how to see God in other people, according to one of the famous verses from this book. This is called The Nectar of Instruction, and it is a classic bhakti philosophy text. So in this verse, it reads, being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family or a body with a poor complexion, a deformed body or a diseased or infirm body. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee, but despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. It's a beautiful verse, and we'll read it again and I'll break it down little by little, developing this idea a little bit more about how we see people through a spiritual lens. So being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, a pure devotee does not identify with the body. So first of all, it's not that we belittle the body or hate the body. It's that we recognize, oh, the body is a temporary home for my spirit soul. It's a temple. It's a house of the holy. And so we don't disrespect the body. We don't dissociate from it. We don't hate on it or anything like that. In fact, we love and serve it. But we also recognize I am not my body. And why is this verse pointing this out? Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, with a poor complexion, deformed body of with disease or infirmities. According to ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent, but despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. So first of all, one of the things that's really beautiful about bhakti yoga is that in the bhakti tradition, anybody of any class or caste in the Indian, you know, Indian cultural history can practice bhakti yoga, which is to say it doesn't matter what kind of body or family you are born into. That is not what defines your spiritual. The spiritual prerequisite for bhakti is simply that you are a spirit soul and that all beings are spirit souls and are therefore qualified to awaken the dormant love of God that lives in the heart and soul. Awakening love of God from within has nothing to do with your body, caste, class, disease, sickness, how beautiful you are. So first of all, this verse is telling us essentially anyone can practice bhakti. And that's a big deal. Also, at times in India, where perhaps sometimes only Brahminical people were thought of as those capable of also receiving purity or being pure. So this is a verse that says, essentially turns that on its head and says, it does not matter what your body looks like or what family you were born into. You are a temple of God. You have God dwelling within. And your ability to practice bhakti is not dependent upon any of the external features or categories that you were born into or circumstances of health or what your appearance looks like. That's beautiful. This is a tradition that has been, it could always grow. I think there's always room for traditions to grow and become more inclusive. And I believe that about my own tradition, but a tradition that recognizes people, no matter what shape they're in, what class or caste they come from, what gender or sex they are. You know, there's the idea here is that if you're a spirit soul, it doesn't matter what the packaging looks like. It's being a spirit soul that is what qualifies you to evolve and grow spiritually and practice bhakti yoga. And also, this is an instruction for people who are already practicing not to become elitist. And it's an instruction about how to look at people who are coming into the temple. For example, people coming into the temple off the streets who are poor, or, you know, might be a beggar, or who might be very sick. It's very Christ-like. You think about Jesus spending time with the least among us, the people who at the time were suffering from leprosy, tax collectors, people that other people hated, the poor. He spent time with prostitutes and people who were considered the lowest of the low by society. I'm not saying, making any judgments today, just that's the story that you find in the Gospels. Very similar in Bhakti, we find this teaching that people who come into the temple, it doesn't matter what they look like. If they're worshiping God, then it's to be understood that the appearance is superfluous. And that's how we're to see one another and look at others as well. Something that my guru says often is what defines the difference between a neophyte devotee, someone who's just early on the path of loving God, and someone who's very advanced, is that the neophyte devotee tends to look at people and sees what they're lacking. Oh, they're not quite on the path, or, they're not very spiritual yet. And it's not that those distinctions aren't in some ways valid, but as you go along in your path of faith, what defines advanced saintly teachers and religious practitioners is that there could be 99% flaws and ugliness that a person is displaying in their character or behavior. But what tends to pervade the vision of a holy person is the 1% of goodness that they see in that person. And that is not something that's easy to do with family, with your dog or your wife or your kids, or for them to us, you know what I mean? But the idea here is that in time, you learn to see the essence of what is in a person, which is the good, beautiful, true, divine spirit that lives within. And that a sign of advancement is that that is what we see, not the externals. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges waters do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water. Now, this was prior to this was written hundreds of years ago, prior to some of the pollution that exists today. Even my guru will be like, the Ganges is holy, and we may dip our beads in it and even take a bath or whatever, but also, you don't want to drink it necessarily. So, it's not to be like completely ignorant here about the actual pollution of the Ganges, but the point that's being made, which is so important, is that the Ganges is considered a holy river, and that the pollution is, from a spiritual standpoint, you would say is superficial. And that's being used as a metaphor to say, this is who we are as people. I mean, you're going to look at me and see faults and flaws. If you get to know me long enough, you're going to feel that about yourself, about anyone. And so what we have to learn to see when we walk a spiritual path is the fact that there's bubbles and foam and mud that appear and disappear on a superficial level. But when someone has their heart and mind aimed at divinity, love of God, and loving other beings as the primary way of being, that we see that, and we that's the essence of what we see, the holy current flowing through them, and the bubbles and mud and all of the rest we recognize as temporary and not indicative of a person's essence. And that is a graceful, merciful, compassionate way of looking at one another, and part of what we need to cultivate if we're to grow in faith. We have to learn to see each other that way, fellow spiritualists that way, and even people that we might consider ourselves to be above. Like, oh, I'm spiritual, and look at this person. They're the epitome of self-centered and mean and narcissistic, and look at them. A sign of our advancement is that more and more we're able to pause and try to meditate on the indwelling spiritual essence of other beings. So, that is our teaching for today. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Great to work through this book. We'll probably have Ashley back with her teacher Rukmini next week for Bhakti Wednesday. So I hope you guys are enjoying it today. Happy Bhakti Wednesday. We'll see you guys again next week. Hare Krishna.